He joins us each and every Friday at 9 o'clock, thanks to our friends at Atlas Senior Living. GMAC, it's our guy, Stanford Steve.
He is the Stanford. He is the Steve. He's a genius, guys. And this guy knows how to pick winners. He joins us every single week thanks to our friends at Atlas Senior Living. A-T-L-A-S, seniorliving.com to learn more. They are the very best. They're going to make sure your loved ones are treated like family. And they've been around since 2013. They have more than 32 senior living communities scattered throughout the Southeast. They offer premier tailored services and care for seniors, including independent memory care and assisted living. And they do our betting segment every single Friday. And to join us, we always have our dear friend Stanford Steve. Steve, what's up, brother?
How we doing, fellas? Ready to go. Championship weekend. I think there's a lot of plays out there.
We got to start. I can't possibly ask you about any games without first asking you about your friend and partner, Chris the Bear Felica, going to the dark side, joining Fox. And you've been burying the lead. I've been burying the lead. But now it comes out yesterday. Your reaction on your dear friend who you share the podcast with. You guys are obviously really close. And I know that you're bummed to see him go, but you're happy for him as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. With that offer for that guy and what he's done, I couldn't be happy for him, man. It really is. You know, what is it? All good things come to an end, obviously, at some point. And, you know, it's just when it hits you, it starts to get in. And I think we're going to hopefully get a couple more podcasts in before he's done. So that's the goal. But, no, we've had so much fun. We're just the little guys, man. We're the producers on the side that got an opportunity to do a podcast and turned it into something, you know, it felt like a lot of people liked and still liked. And by the way, social media feels like people are curious. I doubt the podcast will continue, knowing that he's going to the Fox and we're staying here. So I'm sure people don't get that. I know everybody's not A-Rod. They can't work for Fox and ESPN. So I don't think we're at that level. So the podcast is done, but couldn't be happier for him. I mean, you know, they've acquired, I think they are doing the Women's World Cup that Bear's going to be a part of. I believe, you know, horse racing. They have the Belmont, too, so we know how much he loves that. But, no, it's awesome, man, you know, to see somebody get that opportunity and him be him and knowing how loyal he is and him, you know, weighing the options. It's really, really cool to see.
Hey, I'm going to throw one out early today that's coming down, Steve, and that is the total of 70 on North Texas and UTSA, a potential quarterback situation that's happening. So that one feels a little bit high for me. Is that one that sticks out to you?
You know, I remember this game last year, even though North Texas wasn't in it, it was Western Kentucky and UTSA, and it was an awesome, awesome game. You know, Zappy was slinging it around, Harris, you know, throwing around for UTSA. I believe UTSA's receiver is out for this game, and I feel like they're going to try and get the run game going. They do some, you know, some cool creative stuff in the run game. North Texas has been an awesome story coming back, you know, after a rough year last year and then getting up off the deck and making this game. I hate to say it, I would lean towards the under. Just being that it's the second time playing through, and I think that might be a trend for me in these games that are playing for a second time this year. But I'm actually surprised, Cole. I thought you were going to ask me about Buffalo-Akron because there's a lot on the line at noon Eastern in Buffalo. Akron needed a win for their season total of over 2.5, and Buffalo needed a win for a bowl game.
And Auburn gets into a bowl game if Akron wins. So, yeah, it means a lot in this state. Oh. Let's go. Give us the breakdown of Akron and Buffalo. Greg doesn't think Akron has a chance. I told him, don't doubt Moorhead in this spot.
Correct. And watch out. To me, guys, actually, Felica and I were talking about the craziest scores we've seen from this past year. And right off the get, I thought Indiana beating Illinois was going to hang up there. Arizona State beating Washington. But I know it's Maction, but Akron beat Northern Illinois last week by like 40.
44-12.
like, I don't know. Sorry I didn't check the box score on that one, but I have no idea what happened. But, man, good for the Zips to be in a position to possibly, get that season win total. So we'll see. Got to fire up the app for that one at noon. So, plenty on the line. I know people down south will be watching that knowing there might be a bowl game in the future.
You telling me we can't find a spot on Linear for that sucker? Come on. Why has that got to be on the app? I mean, give me a break. That's what the people want. Let's also go to tonight. Look, Utah SC to me, I like Utah. I can't help it. I like Utah. I know SC played maybe their best game, maybe their most well-rounded game of the year last week. I thought that was a great performance, just a phenomenal performance for the Trojans. And I don't know if that was who they really are or if that was an anomaly performance in which they displayed crazy toughness. So your thoughts on that game and whether or not you would take the points?
I'm with you. I like Utah, but I will say this, Greg. I thought USC did a great job of dictating everything. Last week, they jumped out to the lead. That forced them to be more aggressive against Notre Dame's run game, put Pine in a little, a bunch of circumstances he didn't want to be in. Now, he did throw for over 300. I get it, but Notre Dame was coming from behind, and, they got a great tight end in Michael Mayer and went, to that advantage a bunch. But I actually thought USC mounted up pretty well against the run. But with Utah, I have so much confidence in that coaching staff, so much confidence in the idea that how much they love being the underdog. You heard Kyle Whittingham, I don't know if you guys played it this week, but he sat down at his press conference, he's like, basically was, I don't know why we're playing this, Caleb's going to win the Heisman and you guys have the USC in the playoff. And then he just went on to talk about how much he loves being the underdog. And I think if there's a team you don't want to have to play a second time in the Pac-12, it is absolutely Utah. And on top of that, now you have two games of film of USC without Travis Dye in the run game, who was the guy they gave the ball to get that run game going. And now you have
Austin's what have good, they done though. To I mean, Austin Jones has been a shock. He has shocked me.
Yeah.
I mean, he really has.
Yeah, but I just thought he was more versatile because they would split him out more. And then see, they would get the matchups based off of that. Bring them back in behind the backfield. But, what have they done to compensate for that loss? They've run Caleb a lot more. And I think Utah likes that idea because now they can get some more shots on him in the run game. But I look at Utah's offense as being the story here. They're so balanced. Kincaid was absolutely incredible the first time. I think it was 19 targets, 16 catches, 234 yards. Going back and watching the tape, I think he was off the field for one snap. And then you saw how, Michael Mayer last week, the tight end for Notre Dame, gave USC fits. I just like the balance of Utah's offense to give USC problems, obviously, defensively. And I just have confidence in Utah getting a couple more stops than USC, and that's why I like Utah.
All right, so let's flip. By the way, before we get away from UTSA in North Texas. Have you guys seen the background on this Austin Oon? I think it's Ayoon.
Ani.
Do you know his story?
Oh, the quarterback. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's 100.
If he has another year of eligibility, and if he were to come back, he says he's not right now. If he were to come back, he would be 30 years old playing college football.
Goodness gracious.
30.
Dude,
he's 29.
Dude, you got it.
His brother and I are the same age at Texas High School Football.
He was in the 2012 signing class originally.
Woo! Boy.
How amazing is that?
Goodness gracious.
Crazy.
All right, let's roll over.
It's like he went to Salina. His brother went to Salina and played. His older brother is my age. We are like the same age. And he was like a little pipsqueak eighth grader on Salina's team because they were like 2A. He was on the state championship team. We were 5A. They were 2A. And he was on the state championship team. He's still playing college ball.
It's incredible.
I'm going back
living
to college.
Living a dream.
I'm going to go vibe.
Exactly. All right, Steve, let's roll to tomorrow. Obviously, there's a lot on the line for Kansas State and TCU. We've mentioned it a couple of times throughout the course of the week. It's hard to not feel good about Kansas State's chances, but then just TCU just feels like they got something extra and finding different ways to win games. TCU, 2.5-point favorite, total 62. Where are you on the Big 12 championship game tomorrow at 11 on ABC?
I didn't get to watch this game the week it was played, so I went back and watched it this week. I thought it was really eye-opening to see that Kansas State offense against TCU's defense. Now, this was before the Texas game, and I look at the improvement TCU has made defensively since that game. But the idea of how Deuce Vaughn in that run game, like they just let TCU in their aggressiveness like overrun gaps. And then he's so good at getting the ball where it looks like it's an outside zone, and then he cuts it up where linebackers are over pursuing. So I really want to see the chess match there, because TCU tightened it up in the second half, and that was one of the main reasons they came back and won the game. But I just really like Kansas State in this spot. I said it about Utah. If there's a team I don't want to have to play a second time in the Big 12, it's Kansas State, because of how well coached they are. And they bring that funky, you know, zone scheme to their system. And the passes they have off of that, it feels like they dial up a couple different route combinations every week. So I'm excited to see what they bring to the table there. I think it's lower scoring than the first game. I think 30 points wins this game. So I was thinking about the under, but I do like Kansas State. I love what TCU has done defensively. I mentioned since that Texas game, they have really done a great job of bringing the physicality and making contact on the offensive side of the ball. And they've done a great job of tackling in space. They're going to need to do that. I just feel like all the pressure has built to this point. And with that being said, I would take Kansas State plus the points, because they're playing, you know, with house money here.
Before G-Mac pops in here with something else, how much fun is center left
are you suggesting
for the Kansas State?
You don't like me to pop in?
No, because you don't want to talk about what I'm about to talk about. How much fun is center left for that K-State offensive line? 50, 55, and 70. Gilliam, Beebe, and Leviston. I mean, those dudes just get after it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they've been really good. And they were the main reasons that, well, if you go back and watch Deuce Vaughn's, I think it was like a 50-yard run. It's just great. I just love how Kansas, they don't get anything off their path. They're always on their path. Their steps are always right. And it's just a credit to that coaching staff. I keep going back to it. And that stuff, I mean, it's going to travel. It's a little weird to think about this game being indoors and turf. So I'm interested to see what the speed dynamic is, if that plays a factor in this game. But I'm fired up for this game, because I love both these two teams. Somebody dug up our podcast from beginning of the year. I actually picked this to be the matchup of the game. So I got one thing right this year. I was happy about.
I think you and Greg both had this one then.
Nice.
I did not do great this year on I nailed ACC. I nailed half the SEC. I nailed this one.
Half the SEC. And then I got one of two.
Yeah. So nailed half. Round up, 50% rounds up to 100.
There we go.
I mean, didn't exactly do great this year, but you got to take your wins where you can get them. And this was one that we were all over, which I'm very, very happy about. I just unfortunately had both teams at like 9-3. I didn't anticipate TCU being on the cusp of a college football playoff spot. I think TCU loses the game. I really do. I think they lose this one.
I agree.
I think that has that weird effect where TCU might think they need to win in order to get to the college football playoff. I don't think that's true. And I think that people are probably telling them that, hey, man, you're in no matter what. That has an impact. Whereas Kansas State, what you're getting every week. You're going to get a four-quarter dogfight. Now that Will Howard's in the game as the starting quarterback, they can push the ball downfield. So I like Kansas State getting the points, and I'd sprinkle a little on the money line as well.
Totally agree. I'm there with you. Fired up for the game.
All right, Steve. We got to talk about the SEC championship game as well. It's one that not a lot of people think can be competitive. I actually think there are multiple avenues that LSU could make this game competitive. Very difficult for them to actually win the game, but 17.5, it feels like way too much for me. GMAC was leaning a little more Georgia yesterday. I like LSU getting 17.5 in this game with Perkins running around. The defensive line's pretty stout. They're going to spread the Georgia defense out, add some quarterback runs. They've got skill to be able to create big plays. Now, they didn't do any of that against A&M last week, but they've done it almost every other game this season.
Yeah.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
That's what. There's two things that bother me there, Cole. LSU went to College Station last week and knew A&M was going to try and run the ball down their throat, and A&M did. They ran it 50 times. I think it was over 330 yards. I think they averaged about 5.5 a carry, and that's what bothers me. LSU knew that's what A&M was going to do, and they had no interest in stopping it. And when you look at Georgia, what they do in balancing and unbalancing their formations and getting the run game going with where they put those tight ends, I feel like LSU's up against it, and that's where the matchup comes down to me. I really want to see LSU's defensive line against Georgia's offensive line, because when we start looking at, you know, down the road, Georgia's going to be a favorite in the rest of these games. But I still wonder about the versatility of that offensive line and what teams are going to try and do that to try and maybe make them one-dimensional, where they could put them in second and long and third and long situations where, you know, Stetson Bennett has to throw the ball. So I'm interested. LSU has to start fast in this game. They can't play around. If they go down, I think it's going to be a really, really long day. I just feel like Georgia has been really fortunate with the way their schedule has lined up. They were able to get up for week one. They, you know, had some weeks in there, got up for South Carolina, another couple weeks, got up for Tennessee, and now they've, you know, laid in the weeds, and it feels like a bust-out performance is coming when they have these opportunities in big-time games. So I do agree. I think 17.5 is a lot. I probably would lean LSU. I think it's an over game. I think both teams are going to score, because if it does get out of hand, LSU is going to keep the foot on the gas to try and not let it get embarrassing. But I think the over would be the play here for me.
I don't hate that. I actually like the over in the Big Ten championship game, 51.5 to 2, wherever it is. Yeah. I don't know why. I don't usually like that, especially involving a team in Purdue. And it's tough to always back an over with Michigan on the board. I kind of like the over there. And if I had to play it, I don't prefer a side here, but I think Purdue's the right side. Is there a lean that you have?
Yeah, I like Purdue and the over. To me, this game feels exactly the same as last year's Big Ten title game, and I took Iowa, and it was not the right side. And I'll just say, at least Purdue has more consistency in completing the forward pass than the Iowa offense. And when I think about this matchup, they're not going to be able to run the ball. I think O'Connell's going to throw the ball close to 70 times. I think they have to. That's the only way it's going to happen. Michigan's going to bust some big plays, I would think, with their offense and how they've been going. So I think the over, but I do like Purdue plus the points. I think, you know, when Michigan's already banged up, you know, if they get a lead, you know Brohm's not going to stop throwing the ball. So I think the back door is going to be open. I like Purdue in the over.
I don't appreciate the Devin Mockaby disrespect of Purdue not being able to run the football in this game.
Wow. The old Mockaby disrespect.
Yep. It's like a clone of Horvath back there and getting it done, figuring it out. Do we care about the ACC championship game? I think Clemson's fine, -7.5. Greg said stay away from it.
I don't even want to watch that game. I've had Clemson fatigue.
Here we go.
I've had North Carolina fatigue watching them the last couple weeks. Every game is so predictable. I do feel, I mean, when you watch Clemson's offense, you know, with the run game, they get, you know, wheel routes and seam routes that are wide open, and DJ just throws these fluttering non-spirals that are 5 yards away from the receiver. It doesn't make sense to me when you look at how open it is, and he's not pressured. He just can't execute the throws. So I would just say Clemson's going to lean on their run game a ton. And North Carolina, I mean, what is it now? I think they're giving up over 175 on the ground. So I think that's the way. I just feel like we're going to see Dabo with the trophy after the game, double digit win season. We're still here. Blah blah blah.
No, so, he's not going to do that.
I'm much more interested in the Mountain West championship game.
I was going to go there next. Yeah,
there we go.
North Carolina giving up 170 a game on the ground, 13th in the ACC. Go. Had to go back to the Rubik's Cubic numbers on that one.
Oh, boy. There he goes.
Oh.
Greg likes Fresno. Jay Kaner is our adopted son. Fresno is our adopted team here on McElroy Cubic in the morning. But it's still the blue turf, man. Like, that's still a tough place to play.
Stop.
Yeah, but again, Cole, it's a rematch, and Jake didn't play in that game the first time, and they got smoked. They got beat by 20. And when you look at Fresno State, what they've done since Jake Haner's come back, they haven't scored. Last week was the first time. I think it's the lowest points they scored. They scored 30. They won 30 to nothing. And I think this is their Super Bowl. They had way bigger aspirations at the beginning of the year, knowing they had Jake coming back and a bunch of guys. And they had USC on the schedule. Unfortunately, he gets hurt in that game. But I think they've done a good job of keeping that eyes on the prize, man. And this is what the prize was, is a conference title game. Knowing that a conference championship is still there. And I think it's still a successful season for Fresno. So I really like them to go there and win the game. I think there's plenty of motivation with that group. They've been really, really cool and inspiring to watch, knowing what they bring to the table. So,
hey, hold on, I got to ask you about what you just said, though. Did you watch any of that Fresno Wyoming game? I don't know. I sound like a psychopath for saying that. We haven't mentioned it this week on the show, but I actually,
for good reason.
Well, when I got back from my game, it was the only game that was still on. I got to read this for you guys real quick because I was watching this game happen. These are your Wyoming possessions for the game. Punt, 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 end of half, punt, interception, punt, punt, interception, loss of downs.
So you're telling me they didn't score?
They didn't score.
They did not.
I mean, it's some of the worst football I've ever seen by one team in my life. Honest to God.
Yeah. Factor that game in, their last game of the year, with their first game of the year against Illinois, and that wasn't pretty. So, hopefully, they did get some wins in between for the old YL Cowboys.
But you are riding Fresno State in that title game. Okay, you like that side of it. All right.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Cool.
Good job, Steve.
I got a question for old Kubelik.
Oh, boy.
I'm watching the soccer, and every Croatian that has the IC on the end is like it's pronounced the itch on my back.
Yeah.
Why? What's up with you? It feels a little not national. You know, not pure nationality.
It's fair. You can blame the armed guards at Ellis Island for that because when great grandfather came over, they took the pronunciation off the C and it went from Kubelich to Kubelik. So that's their fault.
Did they take
Americans
soccer ball and give them a football?
Well, that happened once we migrated over to Pittsburgh.
There we go.
And great-grandfather was working in the steel mill. They said, you can keep that thing. Here's the other one. Get going with this. Actually, they threw it right in the mill, right in the burner. Threw the soccer ball right in there and said, take this home to your kids.
Stop. Get going. No way. Not in the burner.
Right in.
Wow.
Had the big cloth suit on.
That's it.
Yep. That's how it happened right there. There is actually, though, if you look, they have like a 15 and under team. Croatia does, and there's a Kubelich on the team.
Hey,
he's like pretty. Apparently, he's a pretty good player too. So I keep up with him on Twitter every now and then. I'm like, buddy, I don't know how we're related, but keep it going.
Keep going.
We're rooting for you.
Is his name Locke or Judge?
Nope.
No relation. Gotcha.
They're not going to make those teams.
After
seeing Judge fall down in five-year-old soccer this year, I'm not sure how it's going to go. We're moving him to guard.
He's got a shot at the American team, though, based on what I've seen.
Yeah, we got to get that Kubelich down to Homewood High School. You think he knows where that is?
Yes, he knows where that is.
Okay.
He'll be there. He'll be rolling in.
All right.
Greg's already trying to recruit him. He thinks Mountain Brook's going to have better NIL down the road.
I think. Are you kidding me? It's a lock. When we wrap up a title tonight, we're going to be in great shape.
You ain't getting locked. He's going to be a hoss. He ain't going over there.
Oh, I love it. Steve, great stuff, my friend. Really appreciate it. Any other locks you got for us?
No. I'm really, really fired up for tonight and in the Big 12 game. I think those are going to be really, really good games. And the
Who's Stanford
going to
hire for their head coach then? Since you can't give us any winners.
I honestly, Greg, I don't know. I here's
Walt Harris.
Every day I wake up and it's just feel. I just hear this guy's interested in the job. This guy's. I just hope everybody that's come calling. There's way more names that I thought that have interest in the job are you know interested in it. I just hope they do get a chance to interview for the job. I just hope we take it all in. There's no rush. Take your time, interview all the candidates, and make sure we make the best hire. I hope we don't, back ourselves into a corner and have our short list where there's definitely names out there that I thought would be very, very interesting.
Yeah. Well, translation, it's going to be an uninspiring hire. We shall see.
I tend to agree with you.
I feel like Jamie Chad will be a great fit out there.
He would.
He would. You guys come on out to Palo Alto. You guys are going to love it.
Why am I the only one with this haircut out here?
All right. Good stuff, my brother. We appreciate you, man.
Absolutely, boys. Have a great weekend.
All right. Stanford Steve joining us here on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. Thanks to our friends at Atlas Senior Living, ATLAS Senior Living. .com, where you can learn more. They are one of the fastest growing senior living companies nationwide. They commit themselves completely to seniors and to the people who care for them as well. Your loved ones are going to be treated like family. So make sure that you check out Atlas Senior Living. They're going to make sure that they have the recreational programming that your loved ones desire to make the most of all the time that they spend with our friends at Atlas Senior Living. ATLASseniorliving.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.